Well, good morning and welcome to Salem Covenant Church. I'm so glad to be worshiping with you. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Jonna Fonts. I'm the pastor of worship and community life here at Salem. And you've just added to the goodness of the morning by being here and worshiping with us. You have joined us right in the middle of a sermon series called What is Your Superpower? And we are exploring these wonderful and confusing things called spiritual gifts. Pastor Mark has actually been teaching for about 3 weeks, laying some great foundations for us to understand spiritual gifts. He has defined spiritual gifts are these special empowerment that is given to followers of Jesus to help strengthen the whole community. These gifts mean that when the body of Christ, when people who are following Jesus gather together, the whole is greater than any of the parts because the Spirit ignites these spiritual gifts to do more than any one of us could do alone. This special release of power comes to us as individuals. We're meant to use them individually, but we're meant to stay together. We're not meant to go rogue and go off and do our own thing, but to stay together, to stay connected with one another. Mark has worked through two of the key passages that have lists or examples of these gifts. And in Scripture, we're given about a list of about 20 different gifts. And I wanted to throw that up there for you. I find it helpful to kind of break the gifts down into four categories. And so that, by the way, if you're a note taker, I just put that little slide on your sermon notes page. So if you've got that in front of you, that list is for your reflection. They're gifts of the heart, which are things like helps and mercy and giving, where you're connecting heart to heart with people. They're gifts of action, where you kind of get things moving and things happen, like leadership or encouragement or apostleship. They're gifts of proclamation, which is mostly about verbalizing the gospel or bringing God's word to people, things like evangelism or prophecy or knowledge. And then we have gifts of inspiration, like healing or miracles that are meant to give us evidence that God is present here, that God is here and he is doing his supernatural work among us. Remember that none of these gifts are more important than any of the others. All the gifts are necessary. If you want a healthy Christ community, you should see all of these gifts actively engaged and at work in the body. And then just to remind you, this is not a comprehensive list. None of the lists given were meant to be definitive, like this is it. This is all the gifts there are. Instead, these were meant to be examples for you of things that you'll see surface in the church. One of the ways that we know that is just that in our body, the way our body works, we know there are gifts that are not listed. Like the gift of worship leadership, which our amazing praise band and Norm, our leader, clearly is deeply empowered with the gift of worship leadership. Yes, amen. Thank you. And that particular gift is not listed in Scripture, but is so evident in the church, right? So evident when we gather together. So just know that this is meant to spark your imagination or to start you thinking about gifts, but not completely to define them. Now for me, when I see a list like this of gifts, my instinct is to go, which one is for me? Which one is my gift? It's kind of like when I was a kid at Christmas, and I would get up really early in the morning, like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would jump out of bed, and I'd run out to the Christmas tree, and we had this giant Christmas tree, and there would be like presents waist deep around the Christmas tree. So many presents, I couldn't imagine that all those gifts were ours, and instantly, instantly, I wanted to know which ones were mine. I had an older brother and two younger sisters, and I just wanted to see what gifts were mine. And so if I was very, very quiet and didn't wake anybody up, I wouldn't get in trouble. I could sort through all the gifts, finding all the tags that had my name on it, and I could see, oh my goodness, this is what I got. It's a sweet memory for me, but spiritual gifts are different than Christmas gifts. And they're different in two particular ways that I want to highlight this morning. One is that spiritual gifts are not given at one time and then you have them for the rest of your life. And spiritual gifts are also not denied you one time, and then you never get to use that gift. I think spiritual gifts are more like stem cells. You know, these cells that there's so much research going on right now? Stem cells are fascinating because they have a tendency. Most stem cells are rooted in some organ. They want to become something. But if given the right stimulus and the right circumstances, the thing about stem cells is they can become any cell, right? They have that amazing ability, which is why researchers are so fascinated with them. I think that's how spiritual gifts are. We have gifts that we just tend to use. So, for example, our visitation pastor, Jim Anderson, he clearly has the gift of encouragement and the gift of mercy. And he has had those gifts through his entire career in multiple settings. Pastor Luke has the gift of leadership. Just hang around Luke for a few minutes and you're going to find people following him. And that has happened across multiple settings for him. I've tended to teach. Wherever I go, I end up teaching. They're gifts that have merged over time and they just seem to follow me. I have a tendency, or you may have a tendency toward a gift. But the Spirit also gives gifts that are necessary for a situation for the health of the body. So that at any given time, any person could be given any gift if that's what's needed there. So if a person needs to be healed, we don't have to go find the person who has the gift of healing. If you are there and God has tapped you, you get to give the gift of healing. If a project needs to get organized, you don't have to go rushing around finding out who has the gift of administration. If God has chosen you, then in that moment on that project, you get to give the gift of administration. I want to warn you, I want to caution you against ever sitting back and thinking, well, I can't do anything about that problem or that need because that's not my spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are not things we have. They are things we pass on. Pastor Mark described it last week as spiritual gifts are things that make us a gift in a moment, in a situation, in a conversation. So as we look at that list of gifts, we get to wonder what kind of an adventure might lie ahead for us, because you may experience any one of those gifts today. You could be the person on site to offer any of those gifts as the Holy Spirit is flowing through you and working with you. The second way that spiritual gifts are not like Christmas presents is they don't come with name tags attached. You have to discern which gifts are being given. Again, I say it's very helpful to get an idea of what gifts you just have a tendency toward. But you also need to be able to discern in a day or in a season what gifts are being given so that you can flow with the Spirit and pass those gifts along to others. So what would be really helpful is if we would be aware of what our tendencies are. What are the gifts that just seem to surface again and again for us? And then to develop a listening ear that can hear the prompts of God so that at any given moment, God could activate any gift in you so that you can hand that on to someone. And that really brings us to our text today. We're going to be looking at Romans 12, 1 through 8, to help us learn a little bit about how to figure out what out of this wonderful pile of gifts is for me to give away. What gift do I get to give away? This is actually one of the final scriptures that have a gift list in them. So you're going to see some of the gifts that we mentioned in that first slide. So let's read Romans 12 together. If you did bring your Bible, flip there, Romans 12. If you've got your phone with you, you can flip to your Bible app. We're going to start in verse 1, and we will finish in verse 8. Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body of Christ, and individually members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter or the encourager in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. Okay. So as we're thinking about discerning our gifts, I can see in this passage at least one do and two do nots. Or another way of putting this is there's one thing that this passage holds up as is being very helpful for discerning your gifts. And then there are two things that can actually get in the way of you knowing what gift the Spirit is giving in any moment. So let's start with the do. The do is, do offer yourselves to God. And this is that first verse. One of the ways to experience the flow of the spiritual gifts is to actually see yourself as a sacrifice. You are offering yourself to God. God is at work in the world all around us, and He is doing amazing and beautiful things. But ever since Jesus ascended back to the Trinity 2,000 years ago, God does not have a body on earth except yours. You are His body. Just like Jesus was, so are you. So as you offer your body to God, just like Jesus offered His to God, then the Spirit can enervate your body, can bring the kingdom of God through your actions and through your decisions and through the gifts that you bring. I have a friend who's really good at this. His name is Dave. And Dave is this guy who every day he has this ritual in the morning of prayerfully, consciously offering his body to God to do whatever God wants with that body today. Like he's kind of sharing it with God. Now, Dave has a very busy schedule. He's got a job and a family, and he's even working on his PhD. But he feels that in every day, his number one job is to be the agent of the kingdom of heaven on call in this moment. Anywhere, anytime, God can invite Dave to extend a gift of healing or encouragement or mercy or teaching or leadership. Dave consciously makes himself available to God prompts. In fact, he's constantly kind of scanning, looking for opportunities. And Dave sees God work in miraculous ways all the time because he does this. He is constantly aware, ready to pray for anyone. Like, you want to be his waitress because you're going to get prayed for. You want him in your checkout line because he's going to pray for you. He is everywhere he goes. He is scanning the environment for this opportunity to offer what the Holy Spirit wants to give wherever he's at. Now, I get so distracted with my schedule and my day. It's like I'm on my own little mission. And I think sometimes God has to, like, tackle me to get me to pay attention to some kind of a prompt. So, like my friend Dave, I'm starting to pray this prayer in the mornings, and I got to do it before I grab my iPhone and get distracted. I say, "My body is yours today, Jesus. Help me hear your invitation." It's just a short little prayer, but I'm trying to, like, I want to offer myself as a sacrifice. I'm just a beginner, and I'm completely type A driven. And so it may take years for me to offer my body as a sacrifice to God. But maybe, Salem, if together we were doing this, if we were all consciously seeking what it might be that God is going to have us do, and we're sharing stories and we're reminding each other and encouraging each other, I think that could help me a lot if I was embedded in a community that was doing that along with me. I know that when we do offer our bodies to God, the flow of the gifts can open up in really exciting ways. All right, so let's look at a couple of do nots. The first is, do not be like the world. So that immediately prompts a question. What is the world like when it comes to gifts? In general, the way the world works is that if you are gifted, then you can expect something in return. The question that people with gifts have is, what do I get if I give my gift here? The focus is often on making a living. It's gaining recognition and reputation. It could be earning a bonus. But it's getting rewarded. Even a thank you is sometimes nice. Some way I want to be rewarded for my contribution. The pattern of the world is that if you are gifted, you get stuff, right? And if we fall into this pattern with spiritual gifts, then you will not be able to hear God's prompts or even allow the Holy Spirit gifts to flow, because this is not the way the kingdom of God works. Grace gives what is not deserved. Right? That's the nature of grace. Karma is all about what is deserved and earned. Grace travels way outside of karma, right? Grace does this amazing work of giving what is not deserved, bringing goodness where goodness has not been earned. And we are all recipients of that. We're all sitting here because of grace. So we're in this kingdom because of it. And that's how the gifts work too. If you are too focused on what is going to give you acknowledgement or attention or get you a reward, you could miss out on your gift tendency, because there's some gifts that get you on stages and in spotlights and some that don't. And you could prefer, I want the gift that gets me the handshakes and the smiles, right? If you can really let go of that, you're joining God, because God has something much bigger. He has invested in something far more lasting than any temporary reward. He is after creating goodness at your core and revealing in the midst of a broken, often tragic world, His goodness. I mean, every time you work in a spiritual gift, you're like proving that there is a good God in the world in the midst of a very dark and broken place. So if you are conformed to the what do I get world, you could miss out on the what do I get to be part of kingdom of God. So as we decide that the gifts we are given are just not about us, but they are all about something bigger, our hearts increasingly become tuned to the nudges of God. We're clearing away the clutter of our very demanding lives, and we get to live into a larger and abundant kingdom where there is enough for us all. We don't have to worry about me and mine. We get to think about, what do I get to give here? So do not be like the world. The second do not is do not get stuck in pride or in shame. Verse 3 encourages us to have this sober judgment about ourselves. The Apostle Paul wants us to see ourselves as we truly are in the world, and that is very hard. We're in a world that does not allow us to see ourselves very honestly. The world seems to encourage us to either see ourselves as better than we are, to think too highly of ourselves, which instantly, the moment pride enters the picture, you begin to look down on others and wonder what's wrong with them. But on the other side of that coin is shame. And shame makes us think that we're less than others, that we're unworthy, that nothing we could offer would matter. Pride and shame have the power to sever us from the rest of the body. They focus our attention on ourselves. They separate us from others by saying, I'm either more than or less than you. So I'm creating a distance. We are proud or ashamed because we think of ourselves as different from others in some negative way or some positive way. See, pride and shame can become a major hindrance to be able to connect with the Spirit. In fact, I think the list of gifts that are offered in this scripture are very interesting, because I wonder if people who serve as prophets, teachers, caregivers, and leaders might be more vulnerable to either pride or shame. And those gifts in particular make us more vulnerable to fall victim to pride or shame, and then our gifts are hijacked because we are disconnected from the flow of the Spirit and disconnected from each other. So whether you feel that rush of pride or that wash of shame, those are really emotional cues to you that you are disconnecting. You are disconnecting from the people around you, and you are probably disconnecting from God. Take a deep breath. When you feel those feelings, the rush or the wash, take a deep breath and realize the main thing to do now is to reconnect. Maybe you pray that little prayer of sacrifice that we started with. Maybe you just, in your mind, you say, my body is yours today, Jesus. Help me hear your invitation. Or maybe you have a scripture, one of the scriptures that has that power to help reconnect you to God. One of my scriptures that I use a lot in this way is from the Song of Songs. The scripture is, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. In that little scripture, I remember who I am and whose I am. And it grounds me. It pushes pride away. It pushes shame away for me. There are lots of ways to reconnect. You may have your own. I know some people even wear bracelets or rings, or they have little reminders that they carry with them. Some people get tattoos. It helps them remember that, oh, this is who I am, and I want to reconnect with God in this moment of disconnection. Whatever works for you, just have it ready, because as you step out in your gifts, I'll guarantee pride and shame are waiting to disconnect you. I also want you to know that there are dozens of spiritual gift tests online that can be taken for free. They can be very helpful to help you reflect on your past service. They might point you towards some of your tendencies. What are ways that you've served again and again? Gifts that you've seen activated in your life over and over. In fact, we take one of these assessments in our Salem 101 class, which is our membership class, just to open up the discussion of spiritual gifts. Just Google spiritual gifts assessment and pick one. They're not definitive. They tend to show you the past more than the future, but they can be a really helpful tool if you're feeling really lost, kind of a place to begin. The key in all of this journey is to ask God to show you how to step out in serving with the gifts He wants to give in the places where He wants those gifts given. Remember to keep offering your bodies as a sacrifice. And also remember that conforming to the world and pride and shame can all shut down the flow of the Spirit in those gifts. What I like to think about is I like to think about every single person here, empowered by the Holy Spirit with that whole list of gifts, right? That whole list of gifts activated here, stepping out into the world, listening to the Holy Spirit, and acting, giving those gifts away at the Spirit's prompts. I can tell you that Salem Covenant Church will become an unstoppable force of God's grace that will change our world. It will change the places where we're standing in and doing our life in. And it turns our lives into this amazing adventure as we get to see the Spirit of God working through us in a myriad of ways. What I want to tell you is it is worth the time and energy to learn to listen to God's invitation. So let's commit to that journey together today. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you that you are a generous God and that you are longing to give such rich gifts to us, that you are longing to give such rich gifts through us to this world, that you are calling us to stand just like Jesus stood as the embodiment of your presence and to flow with your power, bringing your redeeming grace and care to meet the needs of this world and the community that we're living in. It's awe-inspiring, God, that you would choose us, that that's what our calling is. Please come here to me and my friends as we are trying to discern your call and to move out in your gifts. Come, Holy Spirit, we are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.